Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. Now from Columbus, here's Marty Bannister.
The high school football regular season is over. Conference championships have been decided, and now it's time for the second season, which is the Ohio High School Athletic Association State Playoffs. We welcome you to this week's edition of the OHSA Football Playoff Preview Show. I'm your host, Marty Bannister, and thanks for being with us for the next 30 minutes as we set the scene all across the state of Ohio for this week's playoff games. Back in August, 708 schools began the season, and now 448 of those schools will enter the 52nd annual OHSA Football Playoffs. In this week's show, we'll talk with the OHSA's football administrator, Bo Rugg, about the OHSA Football Playoffs, and we'll get reports from around the state to set the scene in your region. As a reminder, that all playoff games during this season are on Friday nights, and all games will kick at 7 o'clock unless otherwise noted. First, though, let's step aside for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. When we return, we'll chat with Bo Rugg. You are listening to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
You practice hard, you play hard, you're always reaching for your goals. You reach for the next point, the next yard, the next win. And after the game, reach for low-fat chocolate milk. It has the fluids to rehydrate you, the right mix of protein and carbs to refuel you, and the vitamins and minerals to help you build strong bones and bodies. Fuel up with chocolate milk. For more information, visit drink-milk.com.
The Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Pro Football Hall of Fame invite you to the 2022 Football State Championship Games in Canton at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Log on to OHSAA.org for information on the playoffs, state championship games, and tickets, including indoor stadium club passes. Make it a weekend to remember in Canton with the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the OHSAA Football State Championships.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
Hey football fans, now's the perfect time to rush to Canton to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Located only a short drive away, the hall provides experiences you can't get anywhere else. Enjoy the Super Bowl Theater, the Game for Life holographic experience, interactive displays, one-of-a-kind memorabilia, and lots more. The hall is open 7 days a week, so what are you waiting for? Get off the bench and get into the game. Tickets are available right now at ProFootballHOF.com.
Welcome back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. For the OHSAA Radio Network, here's Marty Bannister.
And we would like to thank all of our show sponsors, including the OHSAA Radio Network, which will broadcast all seven state football championship games live from Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton starting on November 30th and then on December 1st and December 2nd. Tickets are on sale at OHSAA.org/tickets. We recently caught up with the OHSAA's football administrator, Bo Rugg, to talk about the 2023 high school football season in Ohio and as well to look at the playoffs. My conversation now with the OHSAA's Bo Rugg.
Bo, let's talk. It's playoff time in Ohio, and that's an exciting time in the state of Ohio for high school football. It's really what everybody kind of gears their seasons toward, and you can kind of feel that coming down the stretch, can't you? You go out and watch games, you see different games, and you kind of get that feeling that we're into playoff time.
Yeah, it really happens not only when you're out watching games, but during the week I'm getting a lot of, whether it's emails or calls or texts about certain things, especially about what happens if this team wins this and how does that affect my points and are we going to host, and everybody's excited, and it is an exciting time.
We'll get into a lot of the whys and why things are done playoff-wise, but when you said teams that host, and I think it's a very interesting point to bring up because there's no question. Schools that get the chance to host in those first couple of rounds, that's a big deal for them, isn't it?
It's a huge deal. It's a culmination of something that they get to stay at home and they get to have that tournament game at their site. We like to say it's supposed to be neutral for as many things as you can, but it is at your site. And so that's something that they value very much. Those that in the top four in each region are, if they win, they're going to be home 2 weeks in a row. That's a big deal.
And it's exciting for the community. It's exciting for the players. It's a big thing. I think it's one of the great things about the way Ohio stages the playoffs is giving those teams a chance to host. Has there been any consideration, Bo, to maybe taking that deeper into the playoffs?
We've talked about different things about that. The coaches really like the neutral sites as they go further along. Mm. And they feel that the home site is a big advantage. And we see that in a lot of sports, and I understand that. And I know that in lacrosse, we go all the way through the regional final in home sites, and coaches don't like that. They think that's too much of an advantage. So I think they like the neutral when we go to it. It's the right time in regional semi, and they're excited about it. As long as we can get the sites, it also brings another community into the mix to be able to host and really kind of highlight our nice sites. We're guaranteed when we get to that round, at least the last 10, 12 years, that we're going to have a good site with a good field.
And that takes me to my next question, site selection. I know it's something you get a lot of feedback on that from, well, I think coaches. You get it from certainly from fans, certainly on social media. Maybe take us through some of the steps. What goes into selecting a site to host after you get to the neutral round?
Yeah, we have a committee of people, and it's really a good group right now. I have representatives from each district. Helping me, athletic directors. The great thing about that is, can we use this site? They'll be texting their friend, can we come there? and we get that answer much faster than we used to be able to get it. But the key thing is who puts in to host, number one. Mm-hmm. And then once we get a game, we're looking at what's the best site between these two that will hold the game. Certainly in some teams, some schools, we have some things that you've got to have a size. Others, the size of a facility isn't going to matter, so location might be the best thing there. But if size is a consideration, location is, what's our best total travel situation? We may have one going 40 minutes and one going an hour and 10, and that's really good, versus both of them going an hour and 20.
Mm-hmm.
But we get that from schools. They're traveling shorter than we are. You know what? 20 more minutes on a bus ain't going to make a difference. Both of you are on the bus. Both of you have to get on, schedule it, get there. It's not a big deal. And that's what it's about. So we want to get it to where both communities can get there easily and have a great game.
How much does the field turf surface play into this? Because most games now, most schools have that. Well, maybe not most, but it's a large number of schools, I should say,
we do
have field turf surface.
We haven't had a grass field neutral site game, I don't believe, since 2013. So if that tells you anything. And we've had some times when a school's reached out to me and said, these two schools are in our league. We'd love to host this game. Mm-hmm. And I took it to the two schools. And they said, we appreciate that, but we want to be on, because it was a natural grass field. Mm-hmm. We're in good shape or this or that, but we want to be on the surface we know is going to be good. Because if it snows or rains on Thursday,
mm-hmm. right,
it is what it is. And so we're very lucky that we do have a lot of fields that we can get them on a surface that we know they can play on.
Another change this year, all games have moved to Friday nights. Let's go through the steps of that. Where did that come from, and what's the idea behind that move?
Yeah, interestingly, I have a committee from the Coaches Association. It's called the Tournament Playoff Committee, and they brought it up to me. And we tried it in 2017, trying to kind of own Friday nights, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I said, I'm happy to do it. It's actually better for us logistically.
Mm-hmm.
The only people it really puts at a disadvantage are two groups. One group, media,
mm-hmm.
and the other person is me. I can't go to as many games. That's it. Other than that, our officials were better off because we don't have the conflict on the D3 officials on Saturday night. Our schools are used to hosting on Friday night. They're used to playing on Friday night. That's why the coaches wanted it. But the big thing for me was the coaches saying, look, in our world, this is what happens. We play on Friday night. Saturday, we take off, family, whatever. Sunday, we're right back in, video, practice. Monday, we're back in school. You play on Saturday night, you don't have that because you're back in school Monday, no matter what. And that's what was brought up to me. And I'm like, wow, that was impactful. And for if the schools want this and want it, I think it's a great thing because I think we need to really try to own Friday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got some NCAAs that are trying to play on Friday night, but I think they take more grief for that than they get positives for that. They get positives from a money TV deal, but ours is that's when the communities want to do this. And so we're excited about it. Mm-hmm. We'll see how we go through this year. But we've already been Friday only for the first two rounds the last couple of years, and that's proved to be very, very good. So we're excited about it.
I thought the point about the coaches was very important because, and you know this from your years being around the sport, if there's ever a sport that's where you have creatures of habit, it's football. 100%. Practice, play, and then that practice, and losing another day than playing, it makes a big difference for a team, doesn't it?
It's a huge difference. Yeah. And we want them to be as comfortable as they can be. They don't need any other distractions. They're under enough pressure.
Absolutely. But as we wrap up, let's get a look into your week as we get ready for the open of playoffs. I know you have so many things on your plate. You love to get out and watch high school football games. You do that during the season. But what's your week like leading up to the opening of the playoffs?
Yeah, the first thing about it, when we're in playoffs, and we just had a meeting about Sunday. So what's Sunday going to be like? Sunday we've got to get all the schools, all the final Harbin ratings, the schools get a chance until Sunday at 10 a.m. to challenge anything in Harbin. We do that. We get the teams loaded into the schedule. We get all the officials assigned. And then, that starts the week. And then, so that starts the week and then issues. I've got an issue because I can't work the game. And so a lot of officials things throughout the week to make sure we have all the crews set. Don't have a lot of stuff about teams. We do have a meeting on Sunday, this Sunday, with all the first round hosts, and that helps. But during the week, as we go along in the playoffs, then we're sending them the footballs to each team and to the site and whatever the site needs, those types of things. So that's, early in the week. And then as we get closer to the actual game day, I'm deciding on what games I'm going to go to. And we have, I'll get to two or three sites and I'll decide that midweek. We have a group of observers that we have to get assigned to each site. And we have district coordinators for those observers to get them there. And then that's the first week. And then after the first week, it's looking at reports during that time and then sending and going through the same process as we go. So it's a process with school scheduling, official scheduling, and then scheduling how we're getting out to watch games is all part of it.
It's an exciting time of year, isn't it?
It's the best.
It's the best, absolutely. Bo Rugg, thanks for your time. Appreciate it as always.
And once again, we'd like to thank Bo Rugg for his time. Now let's allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. When we return, we'll hear from radio announcers around the state. You are listening to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
The year was 1907. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. A lot has changed since 1907, but not the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. Since 1907, the OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
What do basketball, choir, drama club, and marching band all have in common? They're all high school activities that offer learning opportunities not necessarily found in the classroom. They take up just a fraction of a typical Ohio high school's budget, and they go a long way to giving young people the tools they need to thrive. High school activities, they're more than extracurricular. They're extra important, too. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Ohio.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
How do you define strength? Is it physical?
Hot, hot!
Or is it mental? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's whatever empowers a person to dig deeper, fight harder, and overcome obstacles that once seemed insurmountable. Discover how much stronger and more confident your children can be. Encourage them to participate in a sport when they go to high school.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show. For the OHSAA Radio Network, here's Marty Bannister.
All right, let's get down to business and start previewing the opening round of games, which start this Friday night all across Ohio. Friday night, Spectrum News 1 will televise three first-round games. In Northeast Ohio, Cleveland, St. Ignatius, and Mentor will get together. In Central Ohio, it's an Ohio Capital Conference regular season rematch as Grove City visits Hilliard-Davidson. And in Southwest Ohio, it's a Greater Western Ohio Conference regular season rematch as Springfield travels to Huber Heights to face the Warriors of Wayne. In addition, 15 games will be streamed live by Spectrum on OHSAA.TV. The NFHS Network will also stream up to 20 playoff games on Friday night. Search Ohio at nfhsnetwork.com for details. And now it's time to break down the first round of the regional playoffs across Ohio and get regional reports from broadcasters. A reminder that all playoff games are on Friday nights this year and all kick at 7 o'clock. Let's head to the southeastern part of the state now and get an update from our friend Aaron Cassidy.
Thanks, Marty. It has been a fantastic season here in southeast Ohio for high school football. We'll start in Division 3, Region 11. Where the Jackson Ironmen take on the Marietta Tigers. The Tigers qualifying for the state playoffs for the first time in 21 years and just the second time in school history. Another good story out of this region is the Athens Bulldogs, who qualify at 6-4 on the season, and they'll be the number 12 seed. One of the toughest regions in the state of Ohio, Division 4, Region 15. Three teams from Southeast Ohio qualify. Gallia Academy will be the number 9 seed. Vinton County, with a 9-1 record, will be the 12th seed. And it'll be the Morgan Raiders for the second straight year qualifying for the playoffs. They will be the number 14 seed. A region that is loaded with talent, Division 5, Region 19. They have four teams in the playoffs. Portsmouth West is the number 9 seed. Portsmouth is the number 11 seed. South Point is number 15, and it's the Ironton Tigers, maybe one of the best teams in Division 5. They are the number 2 seed in this region. In Division 6, Region 23, a name known around the state of Ohio, the Fort Fry Cadets, coming off a Final Four appearance. They'll be the number 3 team in this region. They will also be joined by Nelsonville York, who makes another playoff appearance, along with the Trimble Tomcats at the number 10 seed. Finally, top-seeded Caldwell will be in Division 7, Region 27. Then there'll be six other teams from Southeast Ohio in this Division 7, Region 27 as well, including Waterford, Monroe Central, South Gallia, along with Southern and Scioto-ville. Reporting for the OHSAA Radio Network and for WMOA, I'm Aaron Cassidy.
Aaron, thank you. Let's move to the northeast part of the state. Former Ohio State Buckeye T.J. Downing has our start counting report.
The leaves are falling and a colder shade of weather is taking over Northeast Ohio, and you know what that means. It's time for the Ohio High School Athletic Association State Football Playoffs. I'm TJ Downing with Stark Media, and here's your Week 1 playoff preview. The Massillon Tigers last week defeated the McKinley Bulldogs 35-0 in the greatest rivalry in high school football. That gave the Tigers a 1 seed inside of Division 2 Region 7, and they will host Central Crossing out of Grove City. For the McKinley Bulldogs, a 4 seed, they will host Strongsville in the same region as defending state champion Lakewood St. Edward. Also around the area, a couple 9-8 matchups to keep your eye on. Canton Glen Oak will host Lorain. Three-time state champion Central Catholic will host Cardinal, just celebrating 35 years of their first 88 state championship football team for the Crusaders. A 1 seed in the area, the Canton South Wildcats just capped off a perfect regular season, going 10-0 by defeating the Northwest Indians in Canal Fulton 48-28. The 1 seed will now allow them to host the Northwest Indians at Breck Bueller Stadium this Friday night. Also, the Fairless Falcons will travel to defending state champion South Range. And another one to keep your eye on, Garraway out of the IVC. A 1 seed will host Rock Hill out of Ironton. Last one to keep you up to speed on, last year the Jackson Polar Bears would defeat Berea Mid-Park in one of their very few playoff victories in school history. This year, this Friday, they will travel to Berea Mid-Park. I'm TJ Downing, and this is your playoff preview.
Now let's check out the Cleveland area. Here's Matt Gould.
In the Northeast, we have a slew of state title contenders, including two defending champions. We'll start in Division I with the heavy favorite there, Lakewood St. Edward, looking for the three-peat. They got that big offensive line, including three Power 5 commits. Michigan-bound right tackle Ben Roebuck is a third-year starter over there. And the twins, Deontay and Devontae Armstrong, committed to Ohio State on the left side. St. Edward is coming off of a big Week 10 win at Akron Archbishop Hoban, a game that Max Preps had pegged as the number one game in the country. And speak of Hoban, they're among a trio of title contenders in Division II. Hoban's looking to get back, make their what could be their fourth straight trip to the finals, losing the last two to Toledo Central Catholic and Cincinnati Whitman Woods. They could be a Final Four team, a heavy favorite coming out of Region 5. Avon, a heavy favorite in Region 6. Coach Mike Elder's Eagles were made five of the last six Final Fours. That ended last year against Toledo Central Catholic, but they could get back. Maslin, of course, is the number one ranked team in the Associated Press state poll for Division II. But speaking of Toledo Central Catholic, that team that won it all, they're now in Division III, a heavy favorite coming out of Region 10. It might be tough for a Northeast Ohio team to beat them, but Region 9 is loaded. And, of course, we got Youngstown Ursuline, which got to the finals 2 years ago. And then there's Kenston, Chardon, Aurora. It's a pretty loaded Region 9 over there. Division 4, got the defending state champions, Glenville. Ted Ginn Sr. had a junior-laden squad last year when they got to Canton. Those guys are back, including two Ohio State commits and Bryce West at cornerback and Damarion Witten at receiver. Division 5, the number one ranked team there, Perry, coached by Bob Gesowich. Some folks in Columbus might remember him from his time at Dublin Jerome. And Perry beat Kirtland this year, the Hornets' only loss. And, of course, Kirtland, a favorite in Division 6, the number one ranked team in the AP state poll there as well. Tiger Verdi's got another squad rolling that we could see in Canton.
To the Lima area and the northwest part of the state, here's the one and only voice of the Bowling Green Falcons, Todd Walker.
If you're talking playoff football in Ohio, you're talking about Marion Local. They've won 13 state championships each of the last 2 years. They've been state champs. They've won 42 games in a row. They begin what is expected to be a Division 7 state championship run, hosting Tri-County North. Division 7's Region 26 is the most competitive in the state. Fantastic 50 has three teams with a 20% chance or better to win the region, PG, LCC, and Macomb. Pandora Gilboa is home for Lipsick, LCC will host Ayersville, and Macomb is home for USV. Moving up to Division 6, Region 22, Columbus Grove and Bluffton, the 1-2 seeds. Grove just beat Bluffton for the NWC title last week. They're heavy favorites to meet for the regional crown in a few weeks. Tonight, Grove hosts Lakota, and Bluffton hosts Paulding. As for Division 6, another team to look out for is Versailles out of the MAC. They are in Region 24. They host Troy Christian. Eight of the 10 schools in the Midwest Athletic Conference made the playoffs, including Coldwater in Division 5. They host Indian Lake. Six of eight teams, by the way, out of the Northwest Conference are in. Western Buckeye League, seven of their 10 teams made it, including Region 12, Division 3, Wapakoneta and Salina, the co-champs, home for New Richmond and Hillsboro. Second ever home playoff game coming up for Lima Senior after winning the Toledo City League in their first year in the league. Lima Senior will host Xenia, and Findlay, coming off its first 8-win season since 2012, will be home for Olentangy Liberty. And that's a look at the playoff situation in and around Lima. My name's Todd Walker, reporting from 1150 WIMA.
And as we wrap things up, let's check out how things look in the opening round in Central Ohio. From WBNS Radio, here's Ryan Baker.
66 teams in Central Ohio spanning 10 regions made the postseason this year. Central Ohio has number one seeds in regions 2, 3, and 11 as Olentangy, Gahanna, and Bishop Watterson hold the top spots. Gahanna, the defending region champion in region 3, lost to eventual state champion Lakewood St. Ed's in the state semis last year. The other defending regional champion is Bloom Carroll in region 11. The Bulldogs, who lost to Canfield in the state title game, are the number 5 seed in an absolutely loaded region. There are a couple of opening round rematches in Regions 2 and 3. In Region 2, top-seeded Olentangy hosts the 16 Dublin Jerome. The Braves won that one 35-20 in Week 9. Also in Week 9, the number 2 seed Olentangy Berlin beat 15th seeded Marysville 34-14. In Region 3, top seeded Gahanna beat Reynoldsburg 49-6 in Week 4. And the number 3 seed Pickerington North beat 14th seeded Westerville Central 16-14 in Week number 6. For High School Football Overtime on 97.1 The Fan, I'm Ryan Baker.
Gentlemen, thank all of you for your efforts and your reports, and that will do it for this week's look at the first-round playoff reports from across the state of Ohio. Let's step aside for a few messages from the OHSAA, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of the OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show.
Hi, I'm Anthony Munoz. I didn't make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame by letting drugs and alcohol affect my ability to play. I brought my A game every time, and that's what you should do when sharing the road. That means never getting behind the wheel under the influence and wearing your seatbelt, because it's always the best defense against a drunk driver. So whether you're driving around town or to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, never let impaired driving take you out of the game.
This message brought to you by the Ohio Department of Public Safety.
School sports need your help. With budgets getting tighter, it's more than the games that are on the line. It's all the traditions, the community pride, the culture of your hometown high school, plus all those memories that are on the line too. What can you do? It's simple. Buy a ticket when you can. Go to a game. Take the whole family. Let's do everything we can to keep those cherished school sports memories alive.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The game is over. But this time, instead of asking how many goals did you score or what were your stats, try asking these questions. Were you a good teammate? Were you coachable? Did you give 100%? And did you have fun? Because those are the values that school sports instill in Ohio's young people, where winning and losing are secondary to the life lessons that will stay with kids long after their playing days are over. This is the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Educate through sports.
Practice hard, you play hard, you're always reaching for your goals. You reach for the next point, the next yard, the next win. And after the game, reach for low-fat chocolate milk. It has the fluids to rehydrate you, the right mix of protein and carbs to refuel you, and the vitamins and minerals to help you build strong bones and bodies. Fuel up with chocolate milk. For more information, visit drink-milk.com.
Before we wrap up this week's show, the statewide playoff brackets, a reminder, are available on the OHSAA website at OHSAA.org, along with football playoff histories of every school in Ohio. Looking ahead to the state championships, all session tickets are on sale at OHSAA.org/tickets, including a special ticket package with indoor access to the Stadium Club at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium during and after every game. In our next playoff preview show, we'll go inside the regional quarterfinal pairings and talk with OHSAA Executive Director Doug Ute. On behalf of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, I'm Marty Bannister. Production facilities and assistance provided by Yamo Media and Adam Dell. The OHSAA Football Playoff Preview Show has been a production of the OHSAA Radio Network.